It's a Colleen and Bradley show on MyTalk 107.1, streaming live at MyTalk107.1.com. Everything entertainment, Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hello.
And here's the question we're asking. 651-641-1071. What is the food you always have a stash of? Like, you always keep a stock of this particular food item in the house at all times. 651-641-1071. And the only reason I'm asking is because I grocery shopped today.
Oh, congrats.
Thanks, guys. Thanks. And like, we, and I, first of all, I wondered, does everybody have like stash foods? And I'm not talking about your pantry. Like, I know you always have your garlic salt and your cinnamon. I know those things. I'm talking like, here's some examples at our house.
All right.
Pepperidge Farm Goldfish.
Yum.
At all times. Must be present and accounted for in the Lindstrom house. That is primetime snack food for all of my children. And if we ever ran out, it would be like a DEFCON 1 emergency situation.
We don't have goldfish.
Where are the goldfish? Okay. So, for example, 651-641-1071. What's the food you always have a stash of? And Holly, break in when we get any calls. We're having some technical difficulties.
Well, we do have one caller. Finish your thought, and then...
That is my thought. I'm done now.
Oh, okay.
Who do we have?
It's Jack.
Hi, Jack. Jack, what is the food you always have a stash of?
Well, I actually have two that you may appreciate. I like the Blue Diamond almonds, wasabi and soy sauce almonds.
Those are real good.
Bag of those. Or I'll get the chocolate-covered almonds from Starbucks. I got to have almonds.
All so good. I like that.
Almond lover.
Yes. Thanks, Jack, for your call.
Jack.
See, those, and everybody has something like that. That's their snicky snack food that you can't run out of, because if you run out of it, people will not be kind in the home.
Yeah.
651-641-1071. What is the food you always have a stash of, Bradley Trainer?
Oh, you're asking me? Oh,
sure.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Carrot sticks and celery sticks? No.
Okay, you're lying. That is a lie.
I will say, you might find this actually bizarre. I, in my family, am not the snacker. Do you know who the snacker is? Well, there's only one other person.
Wheezy.
Yeah, actually, she is a snacker. She's always getting treats. But Jamie he's the one who will lose his stuff if there are not certain things in the pantry.
Mm-hmm. What are his snacks that
his go-tos that I have to make sure are, well, because I do the shopping.
Right.
It's not like, you know, whatever. But anyway, so it's my
job. It's not like he's going to leave.
Yeah, he's like, you didn't supply me with enough beef jerky. I'm out. Beef jerky and almonds.
Oh.
Those are the snicky snacks that must be in the pantry at all times.
What kind of beef jerky do we like?
I get the ones at the Costco. They have steak strips.
Ooh.
It's a low sugary one because, you know, the thing about beef jerky sometimes is, you know, it can be kind of a calorie bomb.
You used to make jerky.
I did. And
anymore?
I threatened to start making it again because it's cheaper and there's less sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But Costco has a really good, I think they're just called like, I don't know if it's the, I don't think it's Kirkland brand, but it's like a black bag and they're called steak strips and they are lower on the sugar spectrum. So I keep those in stock and then lots of different kinds of nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And lately, frozen fruit.
Ooh.
That's a nice snack alternative. Do you know that like frozen fruit in a bowl kind of tastes like
ice cream?
No, I mean, it's not ice cream. I'm not going to try to lie to you that much. But it does have that sort of like sweet treat thing happening.
Because it's cold.
Yeah, and it's kind of like...
Do you leave it out for a little bit?
Just a little bit. Like, so I'll make dinner.
Break a tooth while you eat it?
Yeah, so I'll make dinner, mm-hmm. put out the bowls,
mm-hmm.
and I like to pour a little bit of dairy product on
it. Oh, yeah, I was going to say that would make it kind of taste even a little bit more like ice cream.
Yeah, because then it's like a treat in a bowl.
Oh, my gosh.
But, so we always have that... And then I have my secret candy
stash.
Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thing. And it's not always full, but there's usually something, an emergency if I need a...
Break glass.
Yeah.
We've got full phones.
Wonderful. Who do we have, Holly? Let's roll through them.
Our stashing things. And that includes Dee. Dee is on the line.
Hi, Dee. Dee, what is the food you always have to have a stash of?
I always have to have pistachios, but in the shell.
Oh, yeah, because you like to take them out.
you got to work at it to get that little snack.
It feels like you then you get like a little calorie deficit.
It's like you went to the gym for your snacks.
Yes.
Well, yeah, and then when you get the ones that don't have that full crack, then you got to get up and go get a spoon to put in to open it a little more.
Oh, rude.
Yeah, you know, so then there's a little more work involved. So then when you get that pistachio out, it's really worth it.
So it's like calorie neutral.
Yes.
I love that. Thank you, Dee. Pistachios. I do love a good pistachio.
I just bought a bag of shelled pistachios, which feels very decadent.
It does.
Because you don't have to do the work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I feel like I would go overboard on those.
You know what else is decadent? Is macadamia nuts.
Ooh, yes. You fancy.
The Costco's got those dry roasted macadamia nuts.
Ooh. I am here, though, for a snack you have to work for because it slows you down.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
Right? Who else do we have, Holly?
Jake is here.
Hi, Jake. Jake, what is the food you always have a stash of?
Do you know those Sunbelt, like, chocolate-dipped granola bars?
Yes.
Those are a mainstay in my apartment at said time.
Yeah.
So much so that my partner, whenever there's one left, we kind of fight over who gets it. whoever loses has to go buy a new box.
There you go.
I like that.
That's a good rule right there. Thank you for your call. All right, Holly, who do we have next?
Shelly is going to give us the last word.
All right, Shelly, you have the last word on this. What is the food you always have a stash of? Hi, Shelly.
Hi. We have a butter alarm that goes off in our house. Below a pound of butter.
Oh my God, I love it. Like, do you have a literal butter alarm, or you just mean that there's always butter?
Well, we both just kind of go, butter alarm, and we have a whole little shelf dedicated to butter.
Can I ask you about your butter fetish? Do you have a specific kind of butter that you always make sure to buy?
No. Okay. Like, I'll get some on sale.
Yeah.
But I do like Land O'Lakes or Hope Butter.
Oh, I love Hope Butter. Yeah.
Hope. I mean,
it's like a local creamery, right? Wisconsin
yeah, so
or
good.
Minnesota?
Yeah.
They have it at Firelease, too.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. Oh, I love it. Thank you for your call, Shelly, and thank you for having the final word, and thank you for your butter alarm. When we return on the Colleen and Bradley
Show, it's better with butter.
Zac Efron is a thief.
Speaking of better with butter,
we're going to bust him after this on My Talk 107.1. You know us on the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.1, streaming live at MyTalk1071.com. Everything Entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
We love Zac Efron.
Yes, honey.
But he's a thief.
What?
What? Is he?
No, he's not.
What?
Bite your tongue. But that's what the media would like you to believe. And by media, I don't mean us.
You don't mean me. Dia.
It's the UDIA.
See what I did there.
Okay, so now the audience is completely confused. Let me explain. Australian presenter Ben Waddell gives Netflix and Zac Efron 7 days to respond to his claim they stole his show. Down to earth. Okay, what is this all about? I don't really know, and I don't really care. I know the story itself. It's just an opportunity to talk about Zac Efron. So this guy, his name is Ben Waddell, he says that The show that's now filming its second season in Australia with one Zac Efron is a complete replica of a concept that he shopped around the United States back 1,000 years ago in 2018. He says that at the time, producers were like, yeah, that's a dumb idea. And then he was like, fine, I'll go back to Australia and I'll do a local version. And when he did that, oh, look who shows up. Zac Efron! Excuse me. And they partially copied the pilot I filmed.
You're all choked up.
I am. He shared a catchy rhyme that he'd written to update fans, vowing that he would launch legal proceedings. We could play the audio, but I don't know if there's swears, so let's not do it. This sounds like one of those things where somebody who had a similar idea has decided that they are going to get their 15 minutes. He claimed that he was shocked that his show was airing with Zac Efron at the helm, and he did his version better. And he says that he actually talked to other people about this, too.
Okay, there's a lot going on here to unpack. Yeah. And this sounds a little sour grapesy.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, I don't know how this stuff works. I think about this stuff all the time. If I have an idea, And then I see the idea I had, some version of it outside in the world. Like, my automatic assumption is not that that somebody stole my idea. Okay, yeah. It is, but I joke about it. Like, yeah. I don't actually think they stole it. But I always am curious about, you know, when you're pitching an idea, how do you protect that idea so that it doesn't get stolen? And I'm not trying to blame the victim, but I am saying if you really do believe it was such a great show and you did it better, how were you protecting that from being taken by Zac Efron?
Yeah. And also, it's not Zac Efron's fault.
Right. Right.
Don't bring Zac Efron into this.
Don't touch him. Don't even look at him.
Didn't do their due diligence. That's not Zach's fault.
Right.
I don't see why you're so angry at Zach.
No, he's just doing what somebody asked of him.
I will say, though, if you look, did you see the like screen caps of his show and Zach's show?
Yeah.
It's literally called Down to Earth. Mm-hmm. And it has the name of the host.
Yeah.
So Ben Waddell, Down to Earth with Zac Efron. I mean, that's a little familiar.
Yeah, it's
now he does lay out some things. He lays them out. His lawyers do anyway. Mr. Efron discusses how technology and social media distances people from each other and from what authentically matters. That was episode 4. Mr. Efron experiences cooking traditional meals in the kitchens of local family. Episodes 4 and 8. Now, here's the thing. And I'm sure we could open the phone lines and all of the people who've written television pilots would call in and tell us that this wouldn't be the first time something like this has happened.
Sure.
And also, it seems a little bit of a stretch. While I'm not like I'm not a lawyer, so I don't understand the legal things. Just take Zach's name out of your mouth, okay? Because it's Zac Efron. That's why we're here. But as to the actual legal consequences of the situation, I kind of feel like this is going to be a hard row to hoe, as they say. Because what nature show, what lifestyle show, that's all ooey wooey slash hippy dippy, does not have an episode wherein the person discusses technology and social media and how it distances each other. Or each people from each other, or maybe they visit a sustainable and organic farm,
right?
Or maybe they try to repeat words in a foreign language. I mean, that's every travelogue show that's on Netflix or any other streaming service.
Well, and I'm sorry, I'm going to say it. Like, turn on your local HGTV. It's not local, but turn on HGTV and any other off-brand home and garden rehabby type station.
Yeah.
And you are going to see multiple versions of the exact same show.
That would be me like saying like I had an idea for a show where these people would show up to buy houses and they would want open concept. Okay.
Don't even get me started.
Like that's everyone.
That is everybody. But and I'm not I mean certainly
I there would is like a modern farmhouse look with an open concept.
Yeah. 100% of the time. I will also say I'm not a lawyer also, as you may know. However, I think there would be a compelling argument given the name of both projects, etc. But at the end of the day, I don't know. I guess I need to understand the ins and outs of this better.
I don't know no laws or nothing.
Because you're not a lawyer.
I'm just a country lawyer. But I kind of feel like this is one of those situations where people are like, well, okay, but even if they did use the exact same name, you have to prove that they knew about your idea. And did you protect your idea?
Mm-hmm.
Because I will tell you, actually, this is like totally random.
You pitched a pilot?
I did.
Are you dead serious about this?
No.
Okay. I was like, what?
But I told you this because I think when it was happening, I told you about it. So I posted... like, I don't even know if I can say these things. Can I say these things? Yeah, because they happened to me. So I posted on Instagram some fermented stuff. And in the caption, you know, because I like to ferment things.
Yes, he's like a fermenter.
Sauerkraut, oh, yeah, I forgot kimchi about this. Yes. And all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a tagline. Because I just thought it was cute. Because I like cute little things. It wasn't even, it might have been a hashtag. But I was like, There was a play on words with entertainment tonight. It's a real good show. And I'm not going to say it because turns out...
You ceased and desisted.
I was ceased and desisted because some dude had trademarked or copyrighted or social something or othered with legal things. He paid the money. He paid the money to get the right to use that term for his business, which had nothing to do with anything I was doing, by the way. But when I got that, I was like, you can do that?
Apparently you
Turns out you can do that. So my point would be to Mr. Waddell, like, even if they did steal your idea, well, first of all, even if they did have the exact same thing, you'd have to prove that they knew about it and that they didn't have the right to use it.
Right.
And I don't know that that's something this gentleman has invested time or money into.
No. And it sort of goes to, I mean, how many, like, I've had so many good ideas in my life, like refrigerated lockers, right? But if somebody rolls out with refrigerated lockers, I just said that on the radio and I didn't do anything to protect it. And so...
And you don't know that 50 other people hadn't already... Had,
You're fine, Zach. We love you. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show... It's true. Dumb people doing dumb things. Crazy, stupid idiots after this on My Talk 107.1. Dumb people doing dumb things. We love to tell you about them on the Colleen and Bradley show, My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything entertainment. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Trainer. And these are your crazy, stupid idiots.
Well, then, I guess one could say that's a crazy, stupid idiot. Yeah! Colleen and Bradley present CSI. It stands for crazy, stupid idiots.
It sure knows why. Well, because the world is full of crazy, stupid idiots. Dumb people doing dumb things repeatedly over and over again, oftentimes in the state of
Florida.
Florida.
Places like New Orleans. Yes. We will meet in New Orleans a 33-year-old gal by the name of Keelan Spadoni.
Keelan Spadoni.
So here's what happened. She had quite the surprise when she checked her investment accounts in February.
Okay.
She found a figure that she was not prepared to see. She was prepared to see that they deposited $82 into that account. But what she saw was that they mistakenly deposited $1.2 million.
Whoa.
Right?
That's a lot of money.
Now, here's the thing. Keelan has a very interesting job. She works at the sheriff's department. So you'd think she'd be acquainted with things like the law. But apparently, she decided in that moment to not follow the law. So she didn't report it. She transferred all of the money into a different account, and then she bought herself ready a house and a car. Eventually, Charles Schwab was like, hold the phone. That's the investment account. That's the investment company that she's
working with. Oh, it's not some guy named Charles.
Not Chuck. Chuck Schwab. You know him. He's a neighbor guy. No, eventually Charles Schwab was like, hold the phone. Whoopsie doodles. We made a boo-boo. And so they tried to track her down. She kept dodging them and ignoring her calls and her messages. And then the police got involved. And she's been arrested for bank fraud. And she shan't be living in that home that she purchased any longer.
Does the person just not think that that's going to... Like, that they're not going to get caught?
I mean, you can't just, like, make off with $1.2 million. No. That's not yours to make.
Somebody's
going to
come looking for that money.
Thank you. And they did. And then they came looking for her. She had no legal claim to that money, even if it was put there by mistake. And this is a lesson for everybody so that you, too, do not become a crazy, stupid idiot. If money is put into your account by mistake, it's an accounting error, and that is not your money.
Now... If somebody drops $1 million into your lap, can you spend it?
That's a good question. I would say yes. If they meant to.
I mean, these are all good questions, but you'd have to pay tax on it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yes, depending on how it came to you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you have to pay taxes on life insurance, maybe? Or not life insurance, on... certain amounts of inheritance. I'm just saying, check the laws. Yeah, you guys, check the laws.
Cross your T's
and listen to me. When we come back, Colleen has some great tips on investing.
I don't know anything. Just check the laws,
guys.
She's
the Susie Orman of our station. Did you know that?
I'm more like the snoozy no Mormon.
You're Mormon?
No. Oh. I didn't have time to work on it.
Snoozy no Mormon? Okay. That was where? Salt Lake City?
No. Narlins.
You said Mormon. Okay, that's Narlins, otherwise known as New Orleans. Mm-hmm. I would like to take us to Brazil.
Oh,
which is a place I'd like
really
to go.
Want to go there,
we
right
can't
now.
Go right now. And I hope everybody is staying safe in Brazil because it's no joke. All right, but this is.
It's no joke, but they still have crazy, stupid idiots.
It's no joke, but this is also gross and jokey. So here's the thing: I want to tell you about a plastic surgeon who has become a viral TikTok star.
Ooh, fun!
Everybody wants to be a viral TikTok star, right?
Yes.
Got to get all them ticks and
that's
tocks.
The thing right now.
You just want ticks for days. I think that's what they call TikToks. You just call individual ones a tick.
Mm-hmm. Or a talk.
Well, I want to tell you about Karen Trisolio Garcia. She boasts over 645,000 followers on the talk of the tick. She recently had her medical license suspended.
Oh my gosh.
For doing something on TikTok.
Sorry, I just came up with a podcast idea.
Which is?
The talk of TikTok. TALK. Forget it.
So what would you do?
Talk about TikTok. What would you do?
So you're going to talk about viral TikTok videos?
Yeah.
Like in this one video, this lady did this thing. Well, your preliminary or primary episode could be all about Karen Trisolio Garcia. Mm-hmm. Why? Because she did something with her TikTok that earns her crazy, stupid idiot status.
What did she do?
Well, I'll just tell you straight up. She danced with bags of human flesh.
Well, that's not a nice thing to call people.
No. Big bags of human flesh. Remember, I told you that she's a Brazilian plastic surgeon.
Oh, my gosh.
So she posted videos and is now in hot water for posting those videos, busting out bizarre dance moves while holding bags of human flesh and liposuctioned fat. She was suspended for 6 months and has had her medical license suspended.
That's it?
For sharing videos with patients' skin.
I mean, that is ill-advised.
Oh, you think? As the New York Post points out, the Ed Gein evoking clips depicted Garcia, better known as, I don't know that. I'm not a Portuguese speaker, so I can't say those words in a way that would not be probably somehow rude. So, she gyrated emphatically in her scrubs while toting clear bags of human fat and flesh that she'd removed from patients during liposuction. Mm-hmm. Dancing Dr. Demento, even that's what they call her, the Dancing Dr. Demento, pasted lurid captions over the bags with phrases like, oh, God.
Say it. You have to say it.
No,
now.
I don't.
Yes, you do.
This is the breast and this is the underarm fat.
Mm-mm. No, thank you.
That is so creepy. Don't do that.
No, so gross.
Now, what? I just encourage you to read
more?
On your own, because I'm not reading that. Nope. Not gonna do it.
Oh!
Not gonna do it.
No way!
It's very macabre-er.
Oh my gosh. She doesn't have very good judgment.
Also, can you imagine, like, seeing that video after you, like,
had
recover
your
from your surgery and somebody's like, hey, I saw your surge video.
Oh,
and you're like, what video? And then this doctor is like, doo, 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 doo.
I'm watching. I mean,
oh,
thank God.
No,
you can watch one of the videos. They've like blurred the stuff out, so you're not going to see the gross.
Thank God.
But my goodness gracious. Terrible
That's
choicing.
Nasty.
Terrible. That is nasty.
That's nasty.
Thank you. For our last story, we are going to go to, I don't know where we're going. Oh, we're going to Ireland.
I've always wanted to go.
We're staying international. Me too. Don't you want to? Yeah, I would love to go there. Anyway, here's what happened. This landlord in Ireland, 48-year-old John Sheehan, he found out that his tenants, the people who were living in the home that he owned, that he was renting out, were growing marijuana in the home. And he was like, no, that is not on the lease. So he evicted them. And he found all the plants that they'd been growing in there, and he burned them so that, to get rid of them. And I mean,
clever.
Yeah.
See what you do there.
But once they were gone, he was like, wait a second. I just lost money. I feel like I need to make money again. Maybe I should start a grow operation.
What?
So he started growing. He was like, that just looked too easy. He started to grow his own marijuana at the same house that he had discovered marijuana in and kicked people out of. The police tracked him down and found 23 pot plants and 9 ounces of weed that he was just getting ready to sell. And he would have gotten away with it if it weren't for
the meddling kids.
The meddling kids. Mm-hmm. He told the judge he was desperate for money. And so but listen to what his punishment was. It's not that bad. 2 years probation. And then he had to give the $6,000 that he'd already made from the weed that he'd sold back.
That actually, I mean, to them. You know, that seems a reasonable, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like we're all being more thoughtful about stuff like that. I mean, it's not like, you know, I mean, it's a complicated issue, it's complicated now.
It is a complicated issue, but to your point, But he won't be growing weed in that house anymore.
Good.
He'll probably rent it out again.
I'm sure. Mm-hmm. You know what's interesting is, like, with all these, like, legalizations of marijuana happening, is there any place where you can actually just, like, plant weed in your backyard and let it grow?
I feel like there is. I don't know for sure.
I just feel like most places are like, sure, it's legal, but you got to buy it from us.
Yeah, I think it's a check your local listing situation. Well,
I know. Please don't. Right. But I'm just curious if there's a place, and now we'll get 50 emails from, like, the Weed Council, who is up on all the latest weed rules.
We just don't keep up with that on the Colleen and Bradley show.
No, because we're too many good other Christian things. Ladies here. We don't do that kind of stuff.
We have too many other things to keep track of, like the Kardashians.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. When we return on the Colleen and Bradley show, we're going to play a little game. That game is called The Throwback.
What?
After this on My Talk 107.1.